Of course, there's footy, golf, and the Plowlow votes are all on the agenda today. The Subway lunch hour, head to Subway, try the new hot grilled paninis. Hello, Terry Walls.
Hello, Andy. How are you going?
Well, I'm starting to – my trauma has passed.
Right.
I eventually got to sleep last night.
It was a good game of footy.
I'm not talking about the footy. I'm talking about
GOT. Monday night.
I'm talking about Game of Thrones.
Now, you're a Monday night watcher.
I am, because I record
correct.
It.
Correct.
Came
same.
In here last night, did a podcast, got home at about 9:45. House is all quiet.
Same.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah. Well, my son
my
watches
God.
It at the moment. My son, he's got a broken jaw at the moment, so not working, et cetera. Yep. But he watches it live. And then he re-watches it with us in the evening, so he can.
Is he good at not giving anything
he's
away?
He's very good at that, but yep. I think you're a bit more full bottle than me. I mean, I need some explanations every now
who's
and then.
That?
Where did they exactly fit into the whole?
Oh no, I'm not like the real deep divers who know the family trees intimately.
Yeah,
not at all. But
outstanding, wasn't it?
God.
Again,
look, we won't. I know some people haven't seen it, so don't. Get terrified. We're not going to give too much away, but
there were certain people in it that tried to warn us what could have happened.
My word, Terry, yes, and that is classic. Again, not going to give anything away, but those scenes last night, and they just got to flip what they normally do. Normally, if you've got somebody who's reeking, you know, mayhem down upon something, they stay with the reeker of the mayhem.
Correct.
Not last night. They were in there.
Flipped around. Yeah.
Oh, they were copying it from down at street level. Those scenes.
It was amazing.
Oh, wasn't it incredible?
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Can you believe this? One to go.
We're going to lose something, aren't we? Really?
That's the worst thing about these. In fact, we might open that up, I reckon, later on the show, because it feels like you lose a friend. You're so committed to TV series. And
Could you watch it again? Or not hold the same?
No, because because when I knew in the lead up to the last series beginning, they did the complete rerun, and I didn't watch that, you know, like routinely episode of, but I'd flip in if I had half an hour here or 20 minutes there, and I was on, I'd put it on, you just drift in and drift out of, oh no, I was all in
back
on,
in.
It just takes you straight back in. But there is this thing about these TV series that you find they become part of your life.
Yeah.
We won't bog down this hour with it, but when they finish. I felt this way about West Wing. When it finishes, it feels like,
something's gone.
where are my friends gone? Where are they all gone, Terry?
I'm with you.
That's terrible.
I'm with you.
But footy, it was.
I got one. Can I just start off with?
Yeah.
It wasn't on my agenda at all, but I got frustrated driving in here, listening to Jared.
Yep.
And he had a caller come on speaking about umpiring and how. Everyone in the competition, the players and the coaches, are held to accountability, but the umpires are not held to accountability. And it just rankled me. I mean, obviously I've got, you know, connection with my son umpiring the game. The accountability that they are held to is crazy. I mean, it's good. It needs to be that way. But, I mean, so he umpired in Perth. On Sunday, the late game Sunday night. So he's got to fly back on the red eye. He's got a job, so he's got to go to work on the Monday, and he's got to have his full game covered off by Monday to have his assessment. So he's got to assess his own game, missed calls, right calls, wrong calls, got to go through his own assessment of his game, hand that in. That's got to be handed in by Monday. So that's got to be done first up. Then they take that and they assess the game and marry the two together. Then they come and sit down together and go through, well, this is your assessment. We don't really necessarily agree with X, Y, and Z. This is our assessment. And then they are given an assessment. So it's like a 3 or 4 tier assessment of how their performance was on that particular game. And if their assessments aren't good enough over a 2 or 3 weeks, period, they will be dropped.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, they're held as accountable as anyone in the game. Yes, they're not full-time. I don't see, and we've had this discussion before, I don't see how that's actually, because they haven't got teams to umpire and people keep saying, well, the NBA went full-time. But they're traveling all over America, umpiring on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and so it's a completely different scenario.
Yep.
But trust me for those out there that they are held to account.
Are they?
Now, the public accounts, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, we don't hear, and that's a completely different argument for a different time. But from internal, for what they have to do and how they have to achieve it, they are certainly held to account.
I would put to anybody listening that the scrutiny on umpires is, it's almost as great as it is on players nowadays. And there is a venom attached to an umpiring performance that doesn't get attached by and large to a player's performance. And I'd suggest here, Terry, that listening to you talk about that that system that they had to, the post-game analysis that they had to go through, players don't have to go and code their own game and look at every, do they? Do they go and look at every, nowadays?
Yeah,
or?
Look, they won't. The answer is yes. Yeah, they do.
So every involvement,
correct.
You got it right there.
Correct. Probably the difference with them is that they can have it clipped, so they don't have to necessarily watch the whole game.
Yep.
I mean, every action that they're involved in is clipped, so where the umpire would watch the full 2 hours, the players would maybe be in, let's call it a 20-minute segment of every action that they've been involved in the game.
Has it ever been decided or worked out how many decisions an umpire has to make per game?
No idea. Yeah, no idea.
Because that would be, I've got to be here, I've got to be there, play on, that's a free kick, no free kick. Got out of, like the number of decisions they have to make, not just paying free kicks, but the number of decisions they have to make.
And the other side of things, I think people do get misled. I heard somebody on our channel speaking about the umpires, and oh, there's 3 umpires now, so they run less than what they've ever run before. My son's doing, I think he's averaging 17.5K per game.
Per game.
So, yeah, right. I mean, it's right up there, and a lot of that's high-end speed and keeping up with the play of what the players are doing at times as well. So, now,
I'm glad you just pointed that up.
I had no intentions of coming in with that on the agenda, but people just throw out stuff and then just walk away from it as if it's fact.
Well, hopefully that caller's still listening and has that now in the back of their mind and will never say that again. They can say other things, obviously, but information is king. There's already a heap of people have jumped on the open line for AGN, love winter, love natural gas. So let's knock off one of those before we get into the bits and pieces I've got to bowl up at you here.
I'm sure you've got a bit.
Oh, there's a bit here. Scotty's on the road. Good afternoon to you, mate.
Right up, Terry. How are you?
Good, mate. Good.
Scotty?
Terry, I've got there's a noticeable trend at Carlton that's really worrying. I've got a question for you. This is happening time and time again, week in, week out. We seem to take, hard work of a quarter to score 4 or 5 goals, and we give up 3 or 4 goals in 2 minutes' time. It's happened just about every week. The only week it didn't happen was against the Bulldogs. And I know it's a bit of youth, but I think it's a lot of coaching too. My question to you is, would that be happening every week with that side under you?
Oh, look, it's hard. Yeah, you can't sort of say what would and what wouldn't happen and where things sort of sit. I still think, Scott, that it's to do with youth. And, we've seen with clubs for a long period of time, can they finish right through to red time? Do you get goals kicked on your late in quarters? And a lot of that's just immaturity. Look, I'm one, in all honesty, I think Carlton are heading absolutely in the right direction. I've always been a believer in what they're doing. I think it takes longer than what people are prepared to acknowledge. I sit back and look at their players and sit there and go, gee, I'd love to see Marchbank at 26 years of age and Petrescu Seaton at 27 years of age. It just takes time. And look, I went through it only when they were babies, but with Richmond. And, you wondered... My whole call when I was there was, we've got to develop our own, and it's a bit Carlton.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, Carlton,
no doubt.
For a long time, bring in Juddy try to fast track to be able to get there. And that's fine once you've got the core of players or the nucleus of players at your football club. Of course you've got to do that, as some of the other clubs, Hawthorn's done and Geelong's done, over a period of time. But you've got to get the nucleus there first. And I saw it firsthand, and it took forever for Rance and Cochin, they were in there 8th, 9th years before the side become really a good team. And it just takes a lot longer than what people believe. And I heard you the other day sort of saying there's no guarantees, the progress, it just happens.
Yeah.
But all you can go on is the signs you're seeing.
Yeah.
And the signs that I'm seeing suggest that they're going to be okay. So I know that you're probably not happy with that answer, but I think it is just the youthfulness that leaks goals.
Scotty, you just keep thinking, mate. A lot of them are in their first, second, third seasons, together.
Mm.
They've decided not to play. They could have kept Sam Kerridge or Nick Graham or Jed Lamb. They could have kept these guys on the list for another year and had three 30-gamers and play the other three in the VFL. But they've decided not to do that. They've decided to go with them all in.
I just want to see Walsh, Petrescu, Seaton, Dow, Curno when they're in their 7th year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still a long way.
Oh, it's still a long way away.
But I want to see what it actually looks like when those guys are in their 7th year. And guess what? When they are, you start attracting other blokes to your clubs at that stage as well.
Steve's in Point Cook, wants to maybe talk about one of the issues around about that we might have been prepared to discuss anyway. Hi, Steve.
Yes, mate.
Far away.
Yeah, look, I just wanted to have a chat about Essendon, and I'll make the statement. You boys don't need to make the statement in and around the fact I think they're a bit soft around the contest. And I think when Sydney came to them, they put a body on them and Parker set the tone. Essendon sort of ducked the tails between the legs to a degree, I think. And the body language was suggesting that. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, you're listening.
Listening intently.
Question, guys. Bit of an idea. What if you put someone like Hartley into defence he's a decent, third tall, playing in the twos. We've got some, some backup there. We've got Marty Gleeson as well and Matty D. And then move someone like Ambrose, who's got a bit of grunt, into the centre. I know he's a small, undersized ruckman. But what happens if you went around averaging 10 tackles a game?
So, Essendon soft.
Put him in.
Bring someone into the middle who can add just a little bit of physical edge and...
Well, I think that it's fair. I think it's absolutely fair to sort of say that all of us in this area that analyse the game have always thought that they needed a big-bodied mid.
Mm.
I mean, since Joe Watson has left the footy club, they haven't had that replacement, that real grunt player in the middle of the ground. Now, they went and got Dylan Scheel, who is a different player. I mean, he's not that, and he was never going to be that, a good clearance player, but he's more of a dynamic clearance player. I mean, they are missing that the Nat Fyfe, Dangerfield, Cripps type of player.
Yeah.
Kennedy.
Josh Kennedy,
They just haven't got one of those type of players. I think for a long period of time they were hoping David Myers was going to be that player, but he's never really, taken to task that role.
Yep.
He plays a role on the side and gets a game most weeks, but he's not that player as it sort of stands at the moment. So, look, they are missing that. Can Paddy Ambrose do the job? I don't know the answer to that. I haven't sort of seen enough. I've never seen him play in that that position, so you wouldn't know. But there is one thing with them at the moment. If you seeded their key tall forwards, they are missing seeds 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
They're all not there. So Danaher, to me, is seed 1. I think Brown is seed 2.
Yep.
I think McKernan is seed 3. And I think Stewart is seed 4. None of them are there. They're falling down when the ball goes into their forward line. I am a little bit where he sort of said, I'll bring Hartley back in. I think at the moment, only while it's broken and there's no connect with their ball entry going into side forward, I think they've got to take Cale Hooker from one end of the ground to the other.
Do you?
Well, they did in the last quarter. They did late in the game. But I'm a big one for Cale Hooker and Hurley being together in the back line.
Yeah.
That's where he should play.
Yep.
But you're talking about a circumstance at the moment where you've got not one or two blokes, you've got your top four key forwards out and you've got no target to go to. So I would have thought that to simplify things for them, they can cover off down back. Hartley, Ambrose, Hurley. I think they can get away with it down back, but they can't get away with it up forward at the moment. So only for the couple of weeks until they get one back, I reckon Hooker's got to go forward.
Terry, they're a game out and a chunk of percentage now. The next 4 weeks, Fremantle, Richmond, Carlton, Hawthorn. I put to you they're going to win three of those four. They're going to win three of those four because it gets a bit tougher after that.
Yep.
Hopefully they'll get a few back, the ilk that you've mentioned.
Yep.
But it feels like getting we're urgent. In the middle of it sliding away at the moment.
Getting urgent. Yeah.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And, it would be a disappointment because, yes, they've got a few out and so have a lot of other clubs as well. But when you look at their personnel on paper, and that's where most of us do our analysis pre-season, and you pick your best teams, and it doesn't always work that way because now all their key forwards are out. But when you look at their best team on paper, it looks good enough to be competing in September. But for whatever reason, whether it's the big body midfielder, whether it's the injuries, whether it's a little bit of everything. I don't think they're as tight structurally. I've said that many times before. I don't think they're as tight structurally as some of the other sides in the competition.
Yeah.
But if I rank them personnel-wise, which you can't always do because you saw what Richmond did and we saw what Hawthorn did.
Yep.
That wasn't based on personnel. That was based on structure and coaching. But if I rank them on personnel, they're a top eight team. If I'm ranking them on structure and what they do, they're not.
I liked a little bit of everything. I reckon that's an underutilised catch-all for why teams aren't doing what we think they might be doing. Maybe we should talk about a little bit of everything more often. Dan, Joe, Robbie, stick around. You're on the AGN open line. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. Terry Wallace in the studio. Is that right about Sean Grigg? Julian DeStoot reporting that Jamie Elliott's out of the clash coming up St Kilda with a hamstring injury. And Sean Grigg is retired, effective immediately.
Well, he hasn't played, has he?
More details after the news. So.
I must say,
the news has just been. The news that... I'm stunned by it. I'm actually quite shocked by that.
I went through a...
Where are the more details, Clark? You give us more details.
I went through a group of players just last night saying, where are they? Where's Grant Birchall?
Well, he's just taking a long time to get back from...
Where's Dan Hannanbury?
He had a calf, didn't he? Well, Dan Hannanbury, I don't know. They keep saying he's getting...
Where's Harley Bennell?
Yeah, well, no.
Where's Nakia Cockatoo?
That's a good question.
Where's Ben Jacobs? He's got the head injuries, hasn't he?
Yep.
Sean Grigg was on the list. Where's Sean Grigg?
So he had the knee... He had a couple of things, didn't he? The knee and the hip issue that he had. Clearly, it's not coming on and... For whatever reason, he's decided
that'll
do.
Is the case, well done.
Here.
Great career, well done. I mean, when he stepped across from Carlton, you wondered whether, was it going to work? Was this the start of the finish? And he really become a really key player for the Richmond Footy Club. So, really well done to him.
Credit to him. I don't think it took some imagination, didn't it, from the coaching group at Richmond to see him being able to play the role that he played.
Yeah, second ruckman.
Yeah, well, no one saw that. No one saw that. Exactly. No one saw that as him being capable of doing that.
And look, I think Richmond supporters will say to you, when he first arrived, before they sort of really got on that run, ball use, is he gonna make it? He can sort of turn the thing over a little bit, but he just worked on things and become a better and better player.
Yep. So 43 games for Carlton, 171 for the Tigers, of course, part of the magic of their premiership year and a credit to himself. So well done.
Yeah, well
absolutely.
Done.
So 1-300-736-736 if you want to join in the conversation. You upset some Adelaide supporters, Terry.
Yeah, I did.
By daring to suggest that irrespective of the result in the showdown this week, you still think that by the end of the year, Port Adelaide will establish themselves as the better of the two South Australian teams?
Yeah, I think they are the better of the two sides. And if they play in a second showdown with both at full strength, I would be picking Port Adelaide. That's where I sit. Now, whether Adelaide do finish above them because of fixturing and things like that, that'll play itself out. But I truly believe, and Adelaide supporters were upset because they sort of said I wasn't acknowledging who they had out. And I sort of went, okay, well, Doudet's not coming back for the year. He's out for the year. Richard Douglas, you know, rising 30.
Yep.
Sam Jacobs, rising 30. Wayne Miller, very good player. Acknowledge that. Paul Seedsman, competent player.
Yep.
But that's about all they've got out. When you had a look at what Port Adelaide had out, they had all their leaders, all their high-end, best and fairest types out of the lineup, and they still ran them reasonably close. I just think Port Adelaide are the best side. And I know Adelaide are third on the ladder as it stands at the moment, but they've lost games to 9th and 17th at the moment, but they're winning games. They've won against... And this is in order: 16th, 17th, 16th, 14th, 12th, 8th at home, and 11th, and 11th with half their squad out. So I'm just not convinced yet. I mean, I'm not. Look, they may, and did they tighten up a few things defensively? Yes, no doubt whatsoever. But we haven't seen that tracked against a Collingwood yet, or we haven't seen it tracked against a GWS to sort of see whether, I know GWS weren't very good last week, but that's a one, you know, that's a one everyone has their one-offs. I'm just holding to wait and sort of see how they go about it. I'll be picking Brisbane this week. In Brisbane.
You're an Adelaide hater. Yeah, you hate the Crows, mate. You hate them. Can you believe they're third? I can't actually believe, you just said they're third on the ladder.
Third on the ladder.
I have to do a double take.
Yep.
And the ladder's odd because, you know, the draws are so...
Well, because they've won four in a row.
Yeah, that. Well, but third on... They do not feel but like the third... They're not the third best side.
They've won four in a row against 8, 11, 12 and 14.
They're not the third best side. I mean, apologies, Adelaide supporters. And I'm not saying this to support Terry or get you upset, but if you're an Adelaide supporter, can look anyone, one of us in the eye and say, yeah, of course we're the third best side in the comp. If you can honestly believe that...
And look, you might get on a roll. The defensive structures might hold up against better sides in the competition. Mm. But until I see it with my own eyes, I'm still, from where I sit, I think the talent levels at Port Adelaide are better at the moment than what the talent levels at Adelaide are. And that's just an opinion.
Yep. So there's a bit of stuff coming through off the text machine about Sean Grigg. Sean Grigg retirement opens up spot on the list in the mid-season draft.
Right.
So I wonder whether, out of necessity, you know, we know that they've got some issues now. Nankervis is going to be out for a couple of months, you know, minimum. And the kid is all raw and exciting. He doesn't really know what he's doing half the time, Noah Bolter, but he's exciting to watch. But they could rightfully suggest to themselves, Richard, that they, with a bit of luck, they're in the mix this year, but they might need to go and get something specific.
It's hard to see one. I mean, this is where the trading would have been fantastic.
I know. It's got to come in. Yeah. It has to come in.
Because you've got blokes parked. You know, so let's say Geelong. You've got two or three blokes parked down there that can't get a game behind Reece Stanley. Yep. They probably thought that they were a big chance of getting a game at one stage. Smith, Abbott, you know, the likes. So... that all of a sudden you could have plucked one of those.
Oh, imagine this would become fascinating if that was part of this. And I would look, as from a footy nerd's perspective, you'd love to be able to potentially consider what would you give up for a ruckman who's, you know, just can't get a game at the moment somewhere else.
I mean, I've asked the question of a couple of the recruiters because I thought that Essendon might have been somebody that was, you know, just battling a little bit for tools and, you know, what was out there and, you know, particularly ruckman. And because Draper went down for Essendon as well. So I was just sort of doing my homework in that list management space. There's not a lot out there. I mean, that the recruiters sort of think would be ready-made to be able to come in, step in and be able to play on Max Gorn.
Aren't on AFL lists somewhere. Joe's in Brunswick and has been hanging on for a long time. Joe, we've had to get through a bit of stuff just now with the breaking Sean Grigg news. We appreciate your patience, mate.
Thank you. Just a quick question to you, Terry. With the Gold Coast-Melbourne game, if, argument's sake, Gold Coast had kicked a point instead of a goal and then locked the ball back in their back half instead of kicking a goal and going 6-6-6, could they have wasted the clock down and or going for stoppages and potentially won the game?
The answer is yes. It's more difficult to get it out. There's no guarantee, but it's absolutely more difficult to get the ball out of your back half once that scenario's there. So, you play to win.
and Nick Holman might have tried to kick a point and kicked a goal.
If you try to kick a point, you might kick it out.
A full, that's right. So you take.
So the answer to your question is yes.
They should have still won.
Yeah, but the answer to the question is yes. Yeah. It would be more difficult, and you would have more opportunity of being able to lock away and break down the time barrier, but you wouldn't be doing it.
Thanks for your call, Joe. Appreciate you sticking around. Golf, footy golf on the other side of the break. Put your list management hat back on, and I just want to ask you, so I'll give you a chance to think about it. What is Tim Kelly worth?
Yep.
What is Tim Kelly worth right now? Not only in dollars and cents, but if somebody wants to go to Geelong and do a deal, they want him so badly, they're prepared to try. What could you get for Tim Kelly?
I'm all over it.
Right, we'll have a chat after this.
At 16, listen to the crowd.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! Lambert with a setup kick for Revolt! This is it! Yeah.
Have you seen anything like that?
Fontapelli, the future star, the present star, steady!
Oh, yes. Great stuff.
I love that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's great. PGA Championship this week.
Not sure who actually put that together, but they did a great job.
Lovely job. Righto, footy golf, before we get your thoughts on Tim Kelly, Terry.
Okay, Sydney on Friday night. Noah, there was a lot of controversy around it. A birdie for the Swans. Got the job done. They've been losing games left, right and centre up there, so got it done. Essendon a double bogey. Now, I know if the climbing the goalpost, you could have won the game and that would have changed the score, but it was a game you had to win.
Oh, absolutely.
That double bogey the side that was sitting last on the ladder at that stage. Bulldogs a birdie up at Ballarat. Good, solid victory against the side that was fourth at the time, and a bogey for Brisbane. Why only a bogey? Because I tipped Bulldogs. I thought the Bulldogs would go and win that game. We had par footy going on for quite a bit of the round. Collingwood par against Carlton. Carlton par against Collingwood. Gold Coast a par. Melbourne a par. They got the result.
Yeah,
it was going to be a double at least otherwise. So that's how fluky the game can be at times. St Kilda and West Coast played par footy for me. That's about how I expected the result of the game.
I thought St Kilda might have been able to. It's your segment.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. Adelaide a birdie and Port a par in that particular game. North Melbourne and Geelong played par football. So it looked like to me that the round was going to be just fade away to a boring finish until we got to the last two games. Hawthorn and Albatross against GWS Giants, who were a triple bogey.
Yep.
I didn't think they competed. I mean, four inside 50s, credit to Hawthorn for what they were able to do, but I thought there was a little bit of white flag waving from GWS on the weekend, and I haven't seen that from them before at all.
I'm not listening.
Fremantle, a double bogey at home with a banged up side, and particularly the way the game played out, they're banged up in game as well. And Richmond and Albatross for their efforts. So two fantastic Albatrosses to finish the round, two coaching masterclasses. It's very fluky how one of them did it offensively, pat the ball on, run it on, just continue to flow. And the other completely did it defensively, and they come up against each other this week.
Yeah.
So does the offensive one win or does the defensive side win? So unders at the moment, 6 under Geelong, 3 under Collingwood, 2 under Richmond now, 1 under Adelaide, Hawthorn, Bulldogs, Fremantle, Port, evens Brisbane, St Kilda, GWS, all the way down the back end to Sydney +8 and Melbourne +10.
Okay, well, there you go. So that tells a tale. Some news just coming through regarding the NBA for lovers of the National Basketball Association. Just confirmed here by the big bosses that we're going to be taking every minute of every remaining NBA playoff clash starting tomorrow. How good is this going to be? Tomorrow at 10:45 a.m. Cam Luke will lead the coverage as Portland and the Golden State clash. Hear it all on SEN+. And we'll be dropping in here on Afternoons.
A few broken hearts yesterday, Andy.
Oh, my God. Hey, the more you watch it, there's so many layers. You played. They could hardly have defended him any better.
Correct.
Yeah, they got their 7-footer in his face, in the corner. He's not totally balanced.
Yeah.
And he still makes the shot. I mean, it's...
But the way, I mean, it was just like it was almost like slowing down motion, wasn't it?
It was golf's, it was basketball's moment of, we'd just done footy golf. It was basketball's moment of the Tiger ball drop on 16.
It was that moment.
Oh, yes, there it goes. It was amazing.
For those who follow NBL, our game, Damon Lowry going back years ago, his free throws to get them to the championship, some people out there will remember.
Yeah, that's
just
good for me.
Rolling them around, like, is it going to go in? Is it? Yes. That's the Australian equivalent.
It was full on. We'll get the Plowlow votes after the break, and I'll give you enough time. But Tim Kelly, is as every week goes by, the stocks are rising.
I heard you and Dell speak about it. I think he's an $800,000 player.
Yep.
And I think he is two first-round draft picks.
Two firsts,
Look, if you can get two first-round draft picks for Jake Lever, if you can get two first-round draft picks for a 29-year-old, which I thought was crazy, a 29-year-old Bryce Gibbs, this guy is worth every bit of two first-round draft picks.
So it's that is now the market, isn't it? And it's not Geelong's fault. It's not West Coast's fault. It's not Fremantle's fault that those deals were done.
Correct.
But they were done.
Yep.
So that's what the market's prepared to pay.
Yep.
So if you want to guarantee getting him, that's what's got to come back the other way.
Oh, I think absolutely.
Yeah.
And well, because what it is, it's an investment. I mean, you've invested in a player. You've got him at a bargain basement price in the first place.
Yep.
But you know, everyone else had the opportunity of getting him over about 4 or 5 years, and they were the ones who put their chips in, so they get the win out of it.
And
they're losing out of it anyway, let's face it.
Yeah, that's right, they're losing a player.
Losing the player.
But kudos to Geelong. The way they could have done the deal last year if they wanted to, but that, I reckon somewhere they've gone, you know what? No. The bloke's costing us nothing.
Yep.
He's going to be keen to play, have another slashing year for his own personal reasons.
Correct.
We're going to win. We're going to lose a player eventually. But the wins along the way for Geelong, gee, they played the Tim Kelly situation beautifully.
Well, he's at his highest point in value right as we speak at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
He could be winning the Brownlow. Potentially
no
could.
Surprise, would you? Yeah. No. Righto, there you go. We'll get a break out of the way. The Plowlow votes, the three categories. We'll get to those on the other side of this.
I think the guy we were speaking about might get a couple.
I reckon he might get a couple of votes on the other side of this. Righto, Plowlow votes, Terry Wallace.
So for the best of the best for the round, one vote. First time, I think, that I've done him, that two players from losing sides have got in my top five. That's very unusual.
Okay, right.
So one vote, David Swallow.
Hang on, which category is this?
The best of the best. One vote, David Swallow. Thought he was absolutely magnificent. Two votes, Alex Keith. Hasn't he come on? I mean, if Lever doesn't go, does he get opportunity?
No.
If Duday doesn't go down with an injury, does he get opportunity?
No.
It's been amazing.
Yep.
Three votes, Luke Parker. Thought he willed his side over the line on Friday night. Four votes, Tim Kelly, who we've just been speaking about. Dominant performance against the Kangaroos. And five votes to Patrick Cripps. I thought he was the most dominant player that I saw of the round. We were just talking off air. I could have nearly got Brody Grundy into my votes.
He was fantastic.
They were just brilliant, those two guys, on Saturday afternoon. So that has Cripps on 10. I'm happy with my top order. Cripps 10, Lockie Neal 8, Cameron 8, Pendlebury, Dangerfield 6, and Kelly up there as well. So recruits, one to Rory Lobb. I know they lost their ruckman Richmond, but he's still, you know, he's had 46 hit-outs and 17, 18 possessions. It was a pretty average week for him again. Two for Lockie Neal. Three for Luke Dalhouse, four to Tom Lynch, and five to Sam Lloyd of the Bulldogs. So that has Neil on 22, Shield 16, Lloyd 11 now, Dalhouse 10, Lynch and Lysette on 9.
So Lynch not a liability in your eyes?
Well, he's up in the top half a dozen that are there, so not a liability for me.
Okay.
And see how they would be going without him and Jack. Jack available.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
The next category under 50 games, Liam Ryan, one vote for his game for the West Coast Eagles. Hugh McCluggage, who I think is going to be a superstar of the game, two votes. Shai Bolton, absolutely sensational with his four goals, three votes. And the two that were in the other category, four votes to Alex Keith and five votes to Tim Kelly, who Still hasn't played 50 games, can you believe it? So Kelly's on 18, leading that one. McCluggage, Keith, Taranto, Rosie and Hopper all on 8. And Brodie Mychek, 7, with Aaron Norton on 6. So that's where the standings lie.
McCluggage, he's everything that I think they said they were going to be.
I'll give you one for Thursday.
Yep.
First three players. McGrath in the 2016 draft.
Yep.
McGrath, Taranto, McCluggage. Put him in order now and put him in order in 3 years' time.
You're happy with any of them, aren't you? Right. I mean, you're happy with any of them, I reckon. But
that's Thursday. That's yeah, little, okay. That's
yeah,
your little task.
There you go. Righto. You want me to do that?
Yeah, I want you. I'll do the same
righto,
thing.
Righto, so okay.
Now. And what you're projecting.
Now.
Because it does change.
Of course. All right, I'll do that. I'm happy to do it. I love playing those silly little games. Thanks for coming in and try to keep Adelaide supporters happy this week, if you could, please.
I'm tipping Brisbane.
Right.